Today is September 11th, 2013, and this is episode number 221 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, hobo. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM. hobo@macobserver.com.
Do you know the hobo code where you can put the little graffiti marks on things so you know where to get the free food?
Well, I guess, yeah.
You're not a very good hobo.
Well, I'm a terrible hobo. I'm going to be honest. For one thing, I actually have a home. And I don't travel that much. And when I do, it's by car. So, you know, I'm not a very good hobo.
You're a slacker hobo.
Slacker. That should have been my title. Slacker hobo.
Wow. You're a slacker hobo. You have a place to live.
I blame not putting any forethought into my title this time around.
Well, that's a great first step towards your hobo-dom.
Or at least to my slacker-dom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, why does anybody let us do this? So, this is Wednesday.
They haven't caught us yet.
This is Wednesday, and yesterday Apple did that thing. So I'm thinking we should talk about that thing they did.
Apple did the thing.
They did the big thing with the iPhones and the Twitter tweets and the fingers and the, you know, plastic and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I think you've covered it. And that's this week's Apple's Context. Man, I totally blew a great setup for a joke.
You did or I did?
No, I did because I totally bumbled my words when I went into, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
It's quite all right. So let's talk about this iPhone 5S and 5C.
Right. Which one would you prefer to talk about first?
You know what I want to talk about first? I want to talk about those stupid little letters.
Huh. Oh, man. Yes. That really, really bothers me. If these are the first complaints we're jumping in on, that's probably a pretty good sign overall. Nonetheless, oh, man, the little letters, that really makes it a pain for us to write about these things in plural.
It's like Apple doesn't even care about our needs.
Which I know is a big surprise to a lot of people.
Especially us.
Yeah.
No, but so the iPhone 5S and the iPhone 5C is what Apple announced on Tuesday. That's yesterday as of this recording. And the letters, the nomenclature basically that Apple is using are little letters this time. So it's numeral 5, lowercase c, numeral 5, lowercase s. And this not only goes against all the previous nomenclature, where it was capital S, capital G, 3G, right? Okay, mm-hmm. iPhone 3G.
Now, there was the iPhone 4S, which started with the lowercase s, and then a few days later changed to an uppercase s.
Really?
Yeah. And now it's... I remember because I had to go and change my text expander snippet for that so that it was correct.
Well, I'm hoping they do that again. Because, I mean, the problem is that the plural of iPhone 5 is numeral 5 lowercase s.
Yes.
And it also makes us... The plural of iPhone 5S is going to be numeral 5, lowercase s, lowercase es.
Which makes it sound like steam is escaping every time we talk about these things.
Yeah. So, anyway, it is a minor quibble, but I don't understand. I think this is one of those things that Apple is better. I mean, above and beyond the pedantic whining and... so my God, we actually have to change something. I would just prefer Apple to be consistent on this.
I can make it worse for you. The iPhone 4S, which is still in Apple's lineup as the freebie phone.
I was wrong about that.
They changed it from uppercase S to lowercase S.
Retroactively?
So now, it's not retroactive. So you have iPhone 4 uppercase S as the model that was available up until...
That's just ridiculous.
And And now we have the iPhone 4 lowercase s, which is the 8 gigabyte model. So, yeah, I had a feeling that would set you off, which is exactly why I pointed it out.
That's ridiculous. I had not even caught that. I'm glad that you're Johnny on the spot. We ought to just rebel. Yeah, but, just rebel against Apple's nomenclature and use capital letters. That'll teach them.
Yeah, that'll show them those just Apple guys.
With their nomenclature stuff.
With their product names.
But little quibbles like that aside, we didn't get a whole lot of surprises.
No, I really feel like the only big surprise we had was the M7 chip.
Yes, and we will get to that.
So that was foreshadowing, everyone.
That was foreshadowing. As we have discussed, and I've written about it, there are too many hands. I mean, there are. I'm guessing at least a million hands. Half a million pairs of hands working on making Apple's new devices for several months before they get announced, and that's just too many hands for them to stay secret. So I wasn't expecting a surprise, and I don't really think that we should expect a hardware surprise again. I think that those days are over. I don't think Apple can surprise us with hardware. The only thing Apple can surprise us with anymore are our software and services.
Pretty much. I think the only way Apple can give us really big surprises for hardware, and they've shown that they can do this, is by bringing the production in-house completely. And they showed us that they can do that with the new Mac Pro.
That's a fine point. But Apple cannot bring in production of the iPhone in-house.
Oh, no, they can't. No, I didn't say anything about this being practical.
Yeah, true enough, you did not say that. And, I mean, Apple could not make the iPhone in the States today. And I say that not from an expense standpoint. A lot of people think it's an expense issue. The numbers I've seen are that that if Apple were to manufacture a device like the iPhone in the States, it would add something like $12 in labor costs per device. That's not insignificant, but it's not insurmountable.
But it's not a showstopper.
The real issue is the fact that Chinese workers are willing to work long hours and live in dormitories and be Johnny on the spot for when companies like Foxconn need them, and to
right, and they can get the sheer volume of people that they need for the factories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these factories that are the status quo in China are you know, the equivalent of factory towns that, like, we used to have in the States 100 plus years ago, and those don't exist anymore, and they're not likely to exist anymore because we had our forefathers.
That's not how our economy works.
Yes, anymore. We had a bunch of people fight and die to get rid of that sort of thing. Right. Hadn't happened in China. It's not likely to happen in China, and that's why Apple and everybody else manufactures their stuff in China. And so Apple can't bring something like the iPhone in-house. It can bring something like the Mac Pro in-house because it's just not going to make a huge difference of that.
Right. And they potentially could bring other products that they make in-house. So we'll see. But a product like the iPhone or the iPad, that just can't happen.
Yeah, even the iMac.
They make enough iMacs. I think they would be hard pressed to be able to produce those in the United States.
Yeah, and you know, that's just that is a reality. It's a reality that really any large scale consumer electronics company is facing. So, the end result of that is no more hardware secrecy. You know, the days of you know, even if Steve Jobs was still with us, the days of him being able to go one more thing and unveil some kind of piece of hardware that we've not heard anything about, those days are gone. Tim Cook can't do that. Like I said, even if Steve Jobs was still with us, he wouldn't be able to do it either.
I agree. Yeah, this isn't something where people can toss around the, well, if Steve Jobs were alive line. It just, it doesn't work in this situation.
You know, by the way, speaking of that, this seems like a great time to mention these ugly cases that Apple introduced with the holes in them.
Now, if you're going to toss out if Steve Jobs were alive, those cases wouldn't exist. Nope. I hold up to you the Hockey Puck mouse and the Flower Power iMac and the iPod
socks. I like
socks.
The Flower Power iMac. But, boom. But those other things are good points. What I was going to hold up, though, is the fact that when you put that case on the iPhone, the lettering for iPhone, most of that lettering is obscured, and what you see is it looks like it says non from the H, because part of the H is cut off.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a detail that would not have escaped Steve Jobs.
That's true. Now, I would like to think that had the designers walked into Steve's office and said, here's our idea for the case, he would have looked at it and said, it looks like Crocs. Get out.
Yeah, but yeah, he definitely had some misses for some of these accessories, and that's because I don't think he spent all that much time with them. But this like seeing some of the text and having it say non, that's just.
I believe that you are correct, and that's something that Steve would have caught. Now, the idea of having the different colored cases with the different colored trim and the holes through so that you can mix and match cases with your mm-hmm. iPhone and create your own color combination, mm-hmm. that part I think is actually pretty clever.
You know, what else I love is that the desktop color is color coordinated to the on the iPhone 5C. We're going to get to this stuff. We're like all over the place here. But the iPhone 5C, which has the plastic colored backs, the desktop matches the color, and I think that's cool. Like I really think the yellow one with the yellow back and the yellow desktop looks great.
I think I'm going to start calling it the Bumblebee iPhone.
You don't like it, do you?
Well, I don't like how the iPhone 5C looks at all.
Really? I like it.
Yeah. And I'm keeping an open mind, even though I just said I don't like it. But this is exactly what has happened to me when Apple introduced colors to the iPod Nano, to the iPod Shuffle, and to the iPod Touch. When I saw the photographs, I was like, oh, this is crap. When I saw it in the stores, I was like, oh, okay, now I can actually see it, and I like it. So what I'm hoping is that I will have the same experience with the iPhone 5C. Because right now I'm looking at it going, this is crap.
I think it looks good. I think it looks really good, to be honest. I mean, I like the original iPhone design too, the iPhone 3G and the iPhone 3GS.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed that design, definitely. The original iPhone with kind of brushed metal back and the black plastic stripe for the antenna, that overall shape will always have a special place in my heart. I thought it was a really cool design. And this is kind of like
that. Yeah, this is kind of like that. But I like the way the 5C looks. I don't like all the colors by any stretch of the imagination, but I do like the overall shape. Can't wait to hold one.
It's the colors that put me off.
Yeah, fair enough. I like the yellow one. You know, the yellow one kind of reminds me of the yellow bumper case with the single from Griffin that I was so nuts about.
Oh yeah, where they would take they were recycling records.
Well, the records are actually
as part of the case.
Records were made for the case by Jack White's Third Man Records.
Oh, I thought they were all recycled.
Nope,
records.
They were made for it. So like the white. So there was a yellow, white, and black bumper, and you could get I guess they all came with a black. Record, but there was mm-hmm. a white record that you could also buy. That was a White Stripes record. There was a yellow one you could buy. That was a Weatherman. And then I forget what the black one was, but that's another Third Man Records property. Anyway, I always liked that yellow one with the black case and the yellow label.
I remember seeing you walking around with that on your iPhone.
Yeah, I love that thing. So I look at the yellow iPhone 5C. I like it. The white one also, I think, looks really good. The blue one looks good as long as I'm not seeing it with the other colors. When it's just a blue one by itself, it looks okay. I would not own that one, but it's okay.
They all look like Easter pastel candies.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'd be interested to see what you say when you actually get the whole one in your hand.
And if it turns out that I like them, I will totally fess up and say, yeah, it turns
out
I like
them. Here's the question on the iPhone 5C. So we know that the innards are pretty similar to the iPhone 5.
Yes.
We know that it's got this plastic back. It's got, was it 8 megapixel camera?
Yeah, it's the same camera that's in the iPhone 5.
Well, but it does is the A6 processor in it new?
I believe it's the same processor.
I think it's a new processor.
It may be. There was so much data that was thrown at us yesterday. It's a wonder that we can even remember that it is an A6 and an 8-megapixel camera with f2.4 aperture.
But otherwise, it's pretty similar to the iPhone 5C. And what I was surprised is that the price...
No, it actually is the iPhone 5C.
Sorry. Thank you. iPhone 5C.
I'm just totally being a pedantic jerk.
No, that's good
right
though.
Now.
You need to catch that's a good one to catch me on. My point though is that I don't understand Apple's pricing. I don't understand why Apple bothered to make this if they couldn't make it less expensive. Which is
okay. So
there's a difference between saying that and saying that this phone should be cheaper. My assumption is that this phone is as cheap as it needs to be to maintain the margins Apple wants. But
yeah, that's a totally fair statement.
But I don't understand why Apple would bother if they couldn't make it less expensive.
Now, on a 2-year contract, yeah. And I know there were so many numbers I can't keep track of.
16 gigs for $99.
99? And 32 for $199.
For $199, right. And I thought it would be free for 16 and 99 for 32. That was what I was thinking it would be. But what's more interesting is that the unsubsidized ones, the ones that they're going to be selling in China, I think are $700.
Holy crap.
Yeah, let me actually triple check that. That's what Apple's stock took a big hit today, in part because of the price.
It must be because of all the crazy import tariffs. Oh, wait. They're made there.
They are still imported. They're technically imported. Let's see. What is the price? $3,001. The iPhone 5C cost £310. So that's what the Guardian is saying. So let's quickly.
So like $400.
No, it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's $3,001. Let me
carry the one.
Try. So I'm at XE.com, which is the site I use all the time for doing currency conversions, and it's taken me a second here. So. Yeah,
and clearly I don't know what the conversion rates are right now. So I said, hey, that's $400. And this is why I'm not a banker. See, I was partly right.
Oh, no. The iPhone 5. Slightly expensive. Wait, how are they saying? Many Chinese standouts, some predicted.
Now, the iPhone 5 is going away
completely.
People
were predicting that it was going to be 3,001, and instead it is 4,488 won, which is $733.
Holy crap! That's too much.
It's roughly the same price that the iPhone 5 was. The same device that people were saying was too expensive for emerging markets. And people, I mean, not only us, but pretty much everyone. So the iPhone 5S is going to be more, and the iPhone 5C right. is going to be roughly $733. And that's for the 16 gig model. I don't understand why, why Apple would bother to do this if they couldn't do it less expensively. The 5S is going to be $164. So there's a $130 delta in a market where a couple hundred bucks is a month's salary.
It's a big deal.
For working class folks. It's curious.
Yes, it is. I am kind of at a loss trying to come up with logic to make that work.
Yes. Why bother upending the model of selling the previous two generation of devices for a less expensive price if your pricing is going to end up being roughly the same in terms of positioning? Doesn't make any sense.
Apple doesn't do short-term planning.
It's true.
So all I can figure is that we don't know the rest of the story because they're not telling, and that by this time next year, we'll be able to sit back and go, oh, okay, here's where they were going. It would have been nice to know back in September of 2013.
Yes.
And while some people will look at that as me just blowing it off and saying, oh, it's Apple, they can do whatever. No, I really think that there's more to this. And since we don't have enough of the information, we're just simply left to wonder, what could they possibly be thinking?
Yeah, apparently, this is according to The Guardian, some folks on Sina Weibo, which is microblogging.
It's the Chinese version of Twitter.
One of the quips is that the C in 5C stands for costly.
Which is funny because in the United States, people are making jokes about the C stands for cheap.
Well, we were beforehand.
Yeah, well, now people are still saying it, but they're not saying it about the cost. Mm. They're saying it about the appearance.
Yeah, I get it. I like the way the thing looks.
And yes, I'm bagging on the iPhone 5C a little bit, but I fully expect this to sell faster than Apple can make it. I think this is going to just be a runaway hit for them.
Yeah, I wonder. So the iPhone 4S is still around for free. That's in the subsidized world. The iPhone 4S remains for sale for free. I had said unequivocally beforehand that Apple was going to dump the 4, the 4S, and the 5.
And I was completely on board with you. It makes sense because that way they get rid of the dock connector, the 30-pin dock connector completely. Mm-hmm. And they've standardized their screen sizes again, and we don't have the 3.5-inch screen to deal with.
Yeah, and yet, so now, here it is. Yeah, still
so,
there.
So there it is.
Still there. So, yeah, I think the short version here is that we're a little confused as to Apple's entry-level strategy at this point.
I think this is the transition year. And so we've got this hodgepodge, and next year the transition is complete, and we have a unified product lineup.
Yeah, I can. Maybe let's talk about the 5S because I am very excited about the 5S.
I'm very excited about the 5S as well. So A7 processor, 64-bit processor, first time in a smartphone.
Yeah, and there were rumors about a 64-bit version of the A7 just a couple of weeks before this media event. But we didn't know that was going to for sure be the case. I assumed that it wasn't going to be the case, to be honest. So maybe that counts as a hardware surprise.
Sure, that can count as a hardware surprise. The M7 chip definitely was a hardware surprise.
Explain that for us.
Okay, so the M7 chip is a new processor Apple's designed that think of it like having a Fitbit that's jammed inside your iPhone. So this whole idea of wearable technology and what's Apple doing with that, it's called the M7 chip, and it's in the iPhone. So all of that fitness tracking, health stuff that you would otherwise be doing with an accessory device like a Fitbit or a Withings Pulse or a Nike Fuel Band, you can do that just by having an iPhone in your pocket.
And yeah, my thought was that the M stands for motion.
That totally.
And fits. So it's basically offloading all of this tracking to this specialized chip, and it allows apps to check with that chip in order to get that kind of data.
Right. And one of the first steps that would be taking advantage of it is the Nike Plus app. Mm. And my expectation is that other companies or other apps like RunKeeper will update so that they can access that as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt of that. This is going to put kind of the, to me, this is going to put a crimp on the third party hardware accessories.
I can totally see that as being a problem.
Like the Fuel Band.
I mean, the nice thing about having something like a Fitbit or a Fuel Band is that if you're doing activities where your iPhone simply won't be with you.
True. That is a good point.
You can still track.
That's a good point. But for casual users.
For casual users, this would be
plenty. People who'd want to just measure how many steps they're taking when they're walking around the office. You know, that sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, running a triathlon doing a century on a bike. I mean, for those things, a smaller third-party hardware accessory is still probably going to be good. But for the casual user, I think that just having your iPhone 5S will be more than fine.
I agree. And I think this is the beginning of Apple trying to take over a lot of that health and fitness mm-hmm. market.
I agree. So the other big news, of course, was Touch ID, which is the new fingerprint sensor that Apple is putting into the home button on the iPhone 5S.
Right. So you can use that as an alternative for a passcode lock on your iPhone and as a payment authorization system for purchases you make through Apple's own channels. So like you want to buy a new album from the iTunes store.
Right.
Instead of having to enter your passcode, you just put your thumb on your home
button.
In
that case, your password.
Yeah, your password.
And it is only – so, all right, so your fingerprint is being stored inside a quote-unquote secure enclave, and Apple made sure to capitalize secure enclave, whatever that means, within the A7 chip.
Yes, so that fingerprint data is stored only in your iPhone.
Yeah, they made a point of saying that it's not backed up or stored in iCloud. So it's on your device, which means, by the way, that if you have an iPhone, and we can assume, I certainly assume, that the next version of at least the iPad, possibly the iPad mini as well, that will be introduced later this year, will also have this feature. Right? Stands to reason.
Yes.
And if you are using Touch ID on both of those devices, each one will have its own recording of your fingerprint.
Right.
And it's using a 500 PPI sensor, which will get a very detailed scan of your finger. And it's scanning not only the surface, not only your fingerprint, but it's actually getting it's getting a epidermal scan as well. And
right. So if there's damage at some point to your fingerprint, it still has the subdermal layer to work with too.
Right. or so Apple assures us. And which, by the way, that should also mean that there's no danger of someone cutting off your finger so that they can steal your iPhone, because it ain't going to work.
Yes, because your finger has to be alive.
Correct. So
yes, it also takes out the common problem that a lot of the other fingerprint scanners have, where you can do something like put your finger on a copier, mm-hmm. make a copy of your print, and then take the paper and set it on the fingerprint reader.
Right,
and it works.
Yeah, this actually, it seems like from everything that Apple's shown us, this actually does seem pretty secure. And it looks really interesting. And also, Apple is protecting the sensor with a sapphire crystal. Now, this is an artificial sapphire crystal similar to what is grown for watches.
Yes, and it's the same thing that's used to cover the camera lens.
Right.
On the iPhone.
Right, so that protects it. I know that there was... You know, it's so funny. You know, all the Apple haters and doubters are just so silly sometimes. Beforehand, I remember people saying that doing any kind of fingerprint thing on the iPhone was going to fail. It was not going to work because of degradation to the sensor and your the oils of your finger and things get just degrade over time. Well, it turns out that Apple didn't bother introducing it until they could actually figure out
until they could do it right.
And the sapphire crystal protects the actual sensor from your finger, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
And another thing about this is it's got this steel ring around it. That's very, very noticeable. I think it actually looks quite attractive. And what that does is it's a
sensor ring as well. So it knows when you've contacted it so that it can activate the
right.
sensor.
So the sensor is not active unless your finger's on it. So what happens when you put your finger down across the home button, you're closing a circuit by touching two sides of the ring. That activates
yes.
the sensor, which means that the rest of the time the sensor is not sucking down juice, because Apple thinks about that sort of thing.
Yes, and people that are saying, oh, well, what if I have tiny fingers? I'm not going to be able to touch the rings. I'm pretty sure you'd have to be a newborn and have someone angle your finger like straight down. Other than that, you're going to end up hitting two sides of
right.
the ring.
And this thing can store multiple fingerprints. So you could have, if it's just you, you could have your thumb and your forefinger and your left pinky, if that's what you want to do. Or more importantly, you could give your spouse access to your phone by having it learn his or her prints too.
Yeah, that seems like a really smart idea.
That way, if you're worried about your family needing to use your phone, that'll be possible.
Right. And I'm assuming, and I didn't see this in the presentation, but I'm assuming that you can still have a traditional passcode on your iPhone so that if you need to get into your phone and for whatever reason you can't actually use your thumbprint, like maybe you have a Band-Aid because you cut your thumb or something, you can still get in.
Well, we don't know that. I'm assuming it's optional.
No, I'm speculating.
I'm assuming that the thumbprint is a fingerprint is optional, but I'm also assuming that if you activate it, it's that or nothing. I don't know that they're going to give us two options there.
I don't know. We'll know in a few days, I was speculating that there would be a way to get at the standard passcode, but you might be right. It might be you have a choice of one or the other.
Yeah, and for the really security conscious, it'd be nifty if you could set it up so that it requires both.
I could see where some people would really like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think that'll be there out of the gate at the least, but we'll see. Now, one of the other interesting things about the 5S is that you won't be able to pre-order it.
Right, which has me believing that they actually have supply issues.
If they had supply issues, it would be easier to manage those supply issues by allowing us to pre-order.
It would, but if they want to make sure they have product in stores and they have a very constrained inventory, then pre-orders might not be a good idea. I just thought of something. It may be as simple as the production time, the lead time. They didn't have enough time to stockpile for pre-orders. So they have enough inventory so that they can make sure they have quantity in stores.
That's possible. I think you can pre-order the 5C starting September 13th. That's 2 days from now,
yes.
Friday.
So this Friday.
You can order the 20th online. Sorry, the 5S on the 20th online, or you can go wait in line. I think that Apple may be wanting to make a statement about the fact that it still generates lines.
I've heard people say that too, and I can see that, but I'm not really convinced that's what they're doing. But it may very well be. They didn't send me a memo.
It's true. It's hard to know. I mean, an issue here is that we haven't seen long lines. You know, it used to be kind of a thing, right? It was like, you know, oh my God, look at the lines at the Apple store. You know, and that was a thing. And that hasn't been a thing for the last several product launches because Apple has allowed pre-ordering. And I kind of wonder if Apple isn't just wanting to make a statement saying, I got your lines right here.
The image that I have in my head of the motion you just made, because, you know, with the glass and the control tables between us, I couldn't actually see. I'm thinking it's for the best that this is an audio-only show.
Probably. It's probably the case every show, though.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
So, all in all, I like the 5S. I think it looks good. I like the 5C. I think it looks good. I've got questions about Apple's pricing strategy with this thing. Kind of don't understand why they're bothering, and I'm fascinated that the 4S is still available and that the 5 is going away.
Yeah, the 4S still being available is, to me, the biggest surprise of all.
Yeah. Oh, and we should mention that Touch ID, so it's starting off, it's just security for getting into your phone, and it's just...
And for authenticating Apple purchases.
For authenticating those Apple purchases, but I believe very strongly, extremely strongly, that this is merely a first step. And
I agree. And I know where you're going with that. And you think that an API for third-party developers will be coming in the future.
I'm sure that's the case. But this is the first step for mobile payments for Apple. Apple needs to get this technology out in the wild, needs to actually see how it works. And so the next step would probably be a third-party API to access the fingerprint stuff. That's certainly possible. Not to access the fingerprint, but access the yay or nay feature, right?
Correct.
From the operating system. But this is definitely the first step towards a mobile payment solution, probably based on iBeacons, as has been the source of some recent speculation.
Yeah, and I think that this is a very clear statement from Apple that NFC will never be part of the iPhone.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think John Martellaro called that right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he called that right. I think that... yeah, the fact that it's not in the 5S is the final proof. And iBeacons make so much more sense anyway than doing NFC for payments. But Apple needs, like I said, Apple needs to get this stuff out in the wild, when it has the user base, it'll be able to bring the merchants and payment services on board.
I believe that. Yeah, I can totally believe that.
And that's the biggest thing that Wall Street... You know, Wall Street's hammered Apple today, in part because there was three different analysts that, that poo-pooed Apple's announcements, some of them for the wrong reasons. But the biggest thing that investors and analysts aren't getting is the importance of Touch ID for the future. That's the big one.
Well, that's always been a problem. We have analysts and pundits and well, all these people that that think they know Apple, but they don't really. Mm-hmm. They're very short-sighted. And
yeah, they always want Apple to be like other companies, when the reason why Apple is as successful as it is because Apple's not like other companies. It drives me nuts.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that bumper means that it's time for Jeff and Brian's Love Seat.
I love this segment.
It's the best segment. It's the best segment ever. This is where we offer dating and relationship advice to the men out there, to the geeks, to the male
really,
geeks.
Who better to offer advice on relationships than us?
That no one.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
so what's our question today?
Well, today, the question comes from someone who was named "I'd rather not be single." I'm assuming that's a pseudonym.
Very likely, but you never know.
You never know. You never
don't
know.
Judge.
Don't judge. It could be someone. Anyway, the question is: what's the one thing that you should never say to a woman?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a
really good question. I mean,
and as it turns out, we both know the absolutely worst thing you could possibly say to a woman. So, pew 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 pew. Oh, that's the Melissa portal. I wonder if that's Melissa.
Well, let's find out. Hold on, let me get the door there. Let me just.
This is great. I haven't seen Melissa in a while.
Hey guys.
Hey Melissa, it is Melissa.
It is Melissa.
Melissa is at the Melissa portal. Who knew?
Wow.
I'm surprised it wasn't someone else.
So are we.
I'm always surprised.
So are you just here to give us a quickie?
I am.
That's fantastic.
That's the best.
That is fantastic. What's the subject today?
We're gonna be talking about using the web receipts folder.
Okay.
Oh nice.
Talk to us about that.
So whenever you buy something online, obviously you get a receipt, and you can print it out or take a screenshot or wait for the email to come in or what have you. But one of the things that you can do is actually really quickly save an electronic copy. So the way that you do this is when you go to print, so you hit Command P or you choose File Print. If instead of going through with the printing process, there's a button down at the lower left labeled PDF, and you'll see that in my screenshot. So if you click on PDF at the lower left, there's an option in there, Save PDF to Web Receipts Folder. And what that does is, if you have never done this before, it creates the Web Receipts folder for you within your Documents folder, and then you can just go in there to see the PDF you've created of that receipt. So you never have to print anything out again. You can just save all your receipts there.
But so you have an easy repository for all of your web-based transactions.
Exactly.
But what if
that's an excellent way to put it.
What if I just love having stacks of paper?
Well, then you should probably go back to 1999.
Yes. So that's it? Is that simple?
That's it. It's that simple.
Well, that's fantastic.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed this quickie.
Always.
We always do, Melissa.
We always do. All right, well, thanks for stopping by.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great rest of your podcast.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
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 That was fun.
That really was. I just love it when we get those surprise visits. And I guess now we know that our interns finally got the Melissa portal working again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been since March.
Yeah.
Gonna have to talk to those guys.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Ainsley. You, Sierra.
Now they're pouting.
Good Lord.
I hate that. You know that means they're not going to bring us our lattes when we want them.
Hey, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. So now the other thing, it's just super fascinating to me is Apple's so-called media event in China.
I don't think they should have done it.
Yeah, it's just weird. You know, they announced that there was going to be a media event in China on September 11th. It was 10 hours, basically 10 hours later than the event that we were just talking about that happened in the States. And
right. So at a time that was more convenient for journalists in China.
Yeah. Yeah. And where I thought Tim Cook was going to be there. I was wrong. That was another thing that I was wrong about. That's some uncharacteristic wrongness for me this time around. And everybody, large quantities of wrongness. And it turned out all they did was replay a video of the event that took place in the States.
Yes. Well, the other thing they did, though, is they had product on site so that the journalists that were there could actually go hands-on with the devices. So there was that. But the fact that all they did was replay a video these people had probably already seen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they didn't have any Apple executives there.
Yeah, there was no...
That was a slap in the face.
I was actually all prepared to be miffed that Tim blew us off for China. And instead, I actually find myself being a little insulted on Chinese journalists' behalf.
Well, when Tim walked out on stage in Cupertino, I was surprised. And when the usual litany of executives came out on stage to do their thing, I was still very surprised. And at the end of the event, we'd had enough of a roll call that I couldn't figure out who in the world they were going to have in China.
Yeah, it turns out
the answer is no one.
I don't even get it. I don't see why they bothered. If they're going to play a video of the presentation that was being given in China, I'm sorry, given in the States, I think that Apple should have instead done a simulcast, a satellite simulcast. And the hour would have been inconvenient, but the point is that they could have, the journalists who were interested could have been there.
I agree. That would have been a much better way to go. The best way to go would have been to have some top-level brass fly to China and do an event in China.
Yeah. As it is, I don't understand what the point of this thing is. I don't understand why the point of inviting people to it was, making it seem like it was going to be an event, because it was not an event.
No, it was not. And okay, so sending out the invitation, they couldn't say much more without tipping their hand. I know, and it was all for show, because we already knew what was going to be announced. What they could have done right as the event was ending in the United States was send a follow-up message to all the people they'd invited and said, this is the schedule. You will have a video replay of today's event, and then you'll get hands-on time with the devices.
Right.
And that way, at least they would have been able to save a little face, because I think the way they handled the China event is embarrassing.
Yeah, it's just weird. I wonder if the event was originally scheduled when Apple was still hoping to work something out with China Mobile, because that was a big thing that we were expecting, simply because I how did I put it that the mere fact that Apple was doing a media event in China suggested that a deal had been reached with China Mobile. I was wrong about that too, but I certainly wasn't alone in thinking that that was the case. I'm wondering if, because Apple did schedule this about 10 days ago.
So maybe they, ended up not getting the deal together in time, and they were already committed for the event, so they had to do something.
Yeah, or they wanted to have the event just in case. Either way, I don't know. I find myself perplexed in a way that I am not usually perplexed after an Apple media event.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So no China mobile deal. Now they did. Apple did finally secure a deal with Docomo, which is Japan's biggest carrier. Docomo has about 60 million customers, which is not quite half of Japan's population of 127 million people.
But that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. Docomo and China Mobile are two of the biggest holdouts. But, you know, China Mobile is, I mean, you know, putting the two in the same league is not reasonable. China Mobile has 700 million customers, more than 700 million customers, and 147 million of those are 3G customers. So, you know, obviously China Mobile is the bigger, much bigger prize for Apple. But Docomo is an important holdout for Apple to work through, and that's finally happened. Apple basically now has access to all of Japan's market, and this should give Apple a significant increase in share and sales in Japan.
Yes, this is definitely a good thing for Apple.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, interesting stuff. You know, it's listening to the tone and timbre of our recording today. We both kind of sound like Debbie Downer. You know, just we're both a little bit meh.
Well, yeah, we do sound that way.
And I didn't that feel
said,
that way after
I'm
the event.
Really excited about the 5S.
Yeah, I'm excited about the 5C too. And I know I was whining about some things. I'm whining about the cost. I don't understand the cost. Actually, what I'm whining about is not understanding. I want to make
that
clear.
And while I'm not personally excited about the 5C, I see what this device is. And it's clear when Apple designed the 5C, they didn't design it with me in mind. They designed the 5S with me
in mind.
And
that's fine. I'm okay with it.
And I think the 5C is going... I think the 5C will outsell the 5S.
I imagine that it will. Just as we saw the 4 and the 4S outselling the 5 this last time around. Now, the one thing that will be a mitigating factor there is the success of Touch ID, at least here in the West. I think that'll be a big deciding factor.
I think the iPhone 5S will sell like crazy. And I think Touch ID is going to be a huge thing. But I think the 5C will sell even more.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah, we'll see. And I think the gold color looks fine. I don't want it, but it looks fine.
Yeah, the gold isn't for me, but based on what we've seen, I'm thinking that it's going to sell really well.
What are they calling black this time around? Is it space gray?
Space gray, because it's not really black.
Space gray. That's a weird name. And why is none of those colors are capitalized?
Yeah, I know. Well,
Apple always
none of the letters to identify
colors.
The models are capitalized either.
Yeah. I'm left with questions. It's really interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, we should do the love seat more often.
Well, now that we've realized that people really want to know these things, yeah we should.
Yeah. All right. On that happy note.
Oh, yeah. It's probably about that time. Mm-hmm. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening. Feel free to follow me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut both places. Also, if you haven't had a chance yet to hop over to iTunes and rate us, please do.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Apple Context Machine. You can find us there. What am I? I have things I'm supposed to say. I know this. This week. Oh yeah, right. I just completely.
I could have helped you out. I was just really fascinated, and I wanted to see where you were going to end up.
Completely lost. You can follow me on Twitter at TM O'Brien. I'm at geektales.com. Jeff is at freshbrewtales.com. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And if you happen to be in Denver on September 18th, come see me at Ignite Denver.
Indeed.
You can get tickets at ignitedenver.org. And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.